You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, and welcome back to part two of the Big Blue Big Board podcast of our positional top tens. Chris, we did not go away for very long, but are you ready to break down the defense?
Yeah, this is the strength of the draft right here, so let's get to it.
Strength of the draft, probably the highest volume of where the Giants are going to pick. We talked about how they have 12 picks in one of our last podcasts over the weekend. We're not expecting them to pick 12 times, but I would expect a majority of those picks to be on the defensive side of the ball because that is the strength of this draft and it is the weakness on the Giants roster. So let's start with a position they are probably going to hit quite heavy, and that is edge. Like we did for the offense, we're going to break down our top 10s each, and then talk about where we differ, who we like a little more than others, and we'll just go by that, position by position on defense, just like we did offense. So for my edge, we'll get into my top 10. Brian Burns from Florida State as edge 1. Nick Bosa from Ohio State, edge 2. Josh Allen from Kentucky is edge 3. Montez Sweat from Mississippi State is edge 4. I have Clelin Ferrell from Clemson at edge 5. Our boy, Bembe Nogu, edge from TCU, edge 6. And then I have Chase Winovich from Michigan is edge 7. O'Shane Zimenez from Old Dominion is edge 8. Then Anthony Nelson from Iowa is edge 9. And Rashawn Gary from Michigan is edge 10 for me. Chris, let's run down your top 10 at edge.
Yeah, mine is very similar to yours, basically right down to 7. So just to start out, I've got Nick Bosa as edge 1, Josh Allen at 2, Brian Burns at 3, Montez Sweat at 4, Clelin Ferrell at 5, Chase Winovich at 6, Ben Banigou at 7. Here's where we start to get a little bit different. I have Christian Miller from Alabama at 8, then O'Shane Zimenez, Old Dominion at 9, and Ja'Kai Polite out of Florida at 10.
Yeah, so I think edge is pretty straightforward. We only have two guys each who are not on each other's. For me, that's Anthony Nelson from Iowa. I like him quite a bit. He was fairly productive, 13% pressure rate per SIS. He only rushed about 80% of the time, so he does have an ability to drop back a little bit. Obviously, if you're drafting someone as an edge rusher, you're not drafting him because of his coverage ability, but Nelson was asked to drop back a little bit, so he does have that ability. And he was a fairly athletic, 79th percentile per spark. So there's the athleticism upside there. He had a good pressure rate. You can maybe develop him a little more. I think good in the mid to late rounds. And then I think surprising, as we have talked, you know, we found this with the quarterback. I was somehow higher than you on Daniel Jones. I'm also apparently higher on Rashawn Gary, who is my edge 10. Obviously, he is not going to be taken at edge 10. So I'm not completely taking him out of my top 10. If you had him in like the third or fourth round and want to try to bank on his athletic upside, I'm for it. But where he's going to go in the first round is why I'm going to stay away. But I don't think his production was so bad that you stay away from him completely. I'm going to stay away from him where he's probably going to be drafted, though.
Yeah, you know, I actually don't have Rashawn Gary as an edge on my board. I have him listed as an interior defensive lineman, at which point I do have him as a third-round prospect. But I think maybe I'll get into that when we get to the interior defensive line. You know, I have Christian Miller at 8. The fact that he's injured right now, I believe he has a torn biceps, I think that hurt him throughout the draft. I was hoping to get to see him at the Senior Bowl and then at the Combine and then Alabama's Pro Day, and none of that happened. Because he's really good off the ball. He's got good burst. He can bend around the edge. He can play with his hand in the dirt or out of a two-point stance. And he was just disruptive. It was mostly last year, but when he was on the field, he was disruptive. So I have him as a value pick. I don't know that he will be one of the first 10 edges off the board, but I think if a team can get him in the middle rounds, they will get a good player. And then Ja'Kai Polite, God, he has had such a weird draft process. I don't know if he has been sick or if he got hurt and has been just trying to gut through it, or if he just got some absolutely terrible advice. But the guy we have seen since January is not the guy I saw on tape at Florida. At Florida, he looked like a young OCU Manura. He had probably the best first step in this class, and considering this class, that's saying something. He could get off the ball, and he could just get great depth with his first, second, third step. He could bend around the corner. There were times he was just embarrassing offensive tackles. He was a little bit leaner, kind of a smaller guy. So I have a feeling maybe somebody told him to put on weight and maybe didn't give him a whole lot of guidance as to how. And because what we saw at the combine, he was a lot thicker and he had just a lot of bad weight and he had just a terrible workout. So I have him at 10, just betting that if you get him in-house and get him with just a good nutritionist and good strength and conditioning advice, that you could get the guy we saw on the field at Florida back.
Yeah, his pre-draft just circuit really concerned me. Through the combine, it seemed like he didn't do very well in the interviews. It seemed like he was not really fazed that he didn't do well in the interviews. And his combine testing was atrocious. Below the first percentile, 0.9%. So you don't see guys succeed there. That is so far below what is the expected or accepted. It just athleticism cutoff at edge that I would be completely scared away from him. He's someone who would probably be, you know, off my board, where it's not really worth taking a shot on him just because that athleticism was so poor. And so that's why I don't have him there. I'd much rather, as much as we've said we don't really like Rashawn Gary, especially where he's going to go, I would rather bet on that athleticism than Ja'Kai Polite, who has kind of not done this entire process well, was, I mean, one of the worst athletes we could possibly see from the combine. And I don't expect that to translate on the field. And then, you know, that's where we differ there at the end. I think when we look at the top, we have, you know, the same top three that are a little switched. I think maybe having Brian Burns as edge one is probably not a very wide held belief, but I like him quite a bit. Very athletic, great spark score. The 94th percentile. He was second in pressures among this edge class. Football Outsiders released their sack seer, which is their projection system for edge rushers. He was first in their sack seer projection, which takes into account a little bit of scouting, and also in their sack seer rating, which is just the raw data and doesn't take into account the scouting side. So he is a very good edge prospect. And there's not a lot of talk of him being the guy at six for the Giants. I think he possibly should be, because I think he can be that good.
Yeah, you know, I definitely see that with him. You know, he probably has the best bend in this entire class. Just his ability to get, even being a little bit taller guy or a little bit longer guy, just to get low and get his hips close to the ground and get that angle between his legs and the ground to be as small as possible. He can do that better than pretty much anyone. I have Nick Bosa at one just because he is basically his brother, but with better lateral agility. And we already saw Joey Bosa come in and just straight dominate the NFL as a rookie. Both of them came in with just absolutely polished, pro-ready hand usage. It was almost impossible for a college tackle to lock in on Nick Bosa's chest plate. And it's going to be damn hard for an NFL tackle to do that too. And he also brings power so he could mix a bull rush or a long arm and then put those hands to work with like maybe a club rip or other moves like that. So I just like that he has more variety open to him as a pass rusher. You know, we both like Josh Allen. We've said that basically from the beginning. I'd like to see him come downhill with maybe a little bit more of an edge to him as a pass rusher. I think if he can learn to do that and maybe continue working on getting stronger, he could have a Khalil Mack-like pass rush. You know, then we both have Montez Sweat at 4. I don't know what to think about his heart condition. I don't have the medical report. Supposedly some teams are wary, but also Mississippi State knew about it. The Senior Bowl knew about it. The NFL knew about it. Everybody's cleared him to play football and to work out. So I'm not sure it's going to be a huge deal, but he is just such a phenomenal athlete that I can't have him any lower than 4. I'm not terribly worried about his bend because, yeah, he doesn't have the most flexible hips like Burns does, but he actually does have pretty good flexibility in his ankle, and he can bend around the corner. It's just that Mississippi State rarely put him in a position to do that. They played him at a lot of 4 and 5 technique. In the games I watched of him, he was only at like 7 technique a couple times. But when he did, he was off the ball and he gave Juwan Taylor headaches. He embarrassed Dalton Risner a couple times.
Yeah, I think what it's going to come down to here is the medical for him. I think some teams are going to be okay with whatever is going on with the heart issue he apparently has. And then I think some teams just aren't going to, and that's fine. So he's going to get drafted by one of the teams that is okay with what's going on. And I think we kind of saw that with Maurice Hurst, who was the interior defensive lineman from Michigan, had something with his heart come up at the combine. He dropped to the 5th round. I think some people expected him to go possibly in the 1st, at least the 2nd. He dropped to the 5th. I'm not sure if Sweat's going to drop that far, but Hurst played all year in Oakland just fine, so I'm not sure how similar those situations are, but there is a little bit of precedent there. So let's move on now to the interior defensive line class. I'll go through my top 10. Quinnen Williams at 1, Ed Oliver 2, Jerry Tillery from Notre Dame 3, Christian Wilkins from Clemson 4, Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State at 5, Draymond Jones from Ohio State at 6, Zach Allen from Boston College at 7, Dexter Lawrence from Clemson at 8, Charles Menehue from Texas at 9, and Tristan Hill from UCF at 10. Chris, let's go to yours.
All right. Once again, we are pretty similar through the top 5. I have Quinnen Williams 1, Ed Oliver 2, Jeffrey Simmons at 3, Christian Wilkins at 4, Jerry Tillery at 5, then Jalen Ferguson out of Louisiana Tech at 6, Zach Allen at 7, Charles Menehue at 8, Dexter Lawrence at 9, and then Gerald Willis out of Miami at 10. So I think I will start off by saying I believe in Jeffrey Simmons. You know, if he was healthy, if he hadn't torn his ACL working out for the draft, I believe he would be a borderline top 10 pick. He is just that good. He didn't get the buzz during the season that Williams and Oliver got, but he was right there with them. Just great off the ball, disruptive, stout, did everything you could ask a defensive tackle to be, he could do that.
Yeah, I think the injury is obviously going to be a pretty big deal. He is coming off an ACL, which I guess isn't as big of a deal as it used to be, but because it happened so late, he did miss everything, and so the recovery time is going to be unknown for the start of the season. There also, he did have a you know, off the field incident, I believe, in high school. So I think that might hang up some teams a little bit. Although I think if you read into what Mississippi State people have said about him, he's been great since being there. So, and maybe that's not as big of an issue as it potentially could have been. But yeah, the ACL does play a part. You know, I still have him as number five for me, so it's not like I'm completely running it off. Obviously, we like Quinton Williams and Ed Oliver, who are just beasts, and should be top 10 picks. You know, I like Jerry Tillery a lot, who is a very good athlete, very good pass rusher from the interior. And one crazy thing about Tillery is he tested really well at the combine with a torn labrum. He got surgery on a torn labrum like 2 days after the combine. So he played part of the season with that torn labrum. He had all of his pre-draft process with that torn labrum. So he just had surgery, but he should be back and that recovery will be a little quicker. And with the shoulder, you don't really worry about it quite as much. So he's someone I'm very high on. I think he should be a first rounder. And I think when you look at what I think both of us look like, I think we do value pass rush from the interior. Both of us have Dexter Lawrence quite low. Again, I'm surprised I am technically higher on Dexter Lawrence than you. I have him at 8, you have him at 9. But when you look at the other guys we have in that area, the Zach Allen, the Amenihu, I have Tristan Hill, you have Gerald Willis, all of that is pass rush potential from the interior.
Yeah, and I do have Tristan Hill as my IDL 11. So I really like him too. I would like to know why he lost his starting job his final year at UCF, but yeah, he's just such a great athlete. He's so disruptive. I'd take the chance on him. I think our biggest difference is probably you have Draymond Jones and I have Jalen Ferguson. I was disappointed in Jones after the season, you know, at the combine. What I saw at the combine just did not measure up to what I was expecting based on the season. But Jalen Ferguson, I have him as an IDL, not as an edge. You know, kind of like Rashawn Gary, I don't know that he has just that ability to bend the edge that you need from an edge defender. But he is just such a bully. I don't think there's a question he could step in and play 5 technique or 3 technique in a nickel situation and give guards fits. So that's just where I am with him, and you kind of have to respect the production.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, for me, I would have liked Draymond Jones's production to be a little better, only the 21st percentile in Spark, but he was still able to push the pocket a little bit. 9.9% pressure rate, pretty good. Good enough for me where some of these guys are, especially in that area. So when he's able to push the pocket like that from the interior, I think he has more, you know, functional mobility than he has actual, like, great athleticism, which, of course, the guys I think have great athleticism are the guys I have, you know, at the top. Quinnen Williams, who's just really good, not a super athlete, but just incredible at creating pressure, and Oliver, who is that super athlete. I think Jerry Tillery has that potential. So I do like Draymond Jones just from what he was able to show. And then you look at all the other guys, and Zach Allen is someone I think we both like from the ability to play on the inside and the outside. And then I like Jones a little more than Amenihu, and I think Tristan Hill is someone we talk about. He was kind of in an Ed Oliver situation where he was played a little more on the nose than he probably should have been a little more of a attacking, like, 3 technique in a more traditional defensive tackle. I think if an NFL team puts him there, he will be much better. The difference with Hill and Oliver was, you know, he's not at Oliver status, so when he got on his coach's nerves, I think he just lost the starting job instead of just being at Oliver and the coaches being like, well, we have to put him out on the field. So I think that's where a big difference is there.
Yeah, and Gerald Willis, I think he is a guy who's kind of been overlooked throughout the process. Just watching the Miami defense, they're through 2017 and at the start of 2018, they were fun to watch, and Willis just kept flashing in the middle. So I think his best football is ahead of him.
Yeah, I think so too. He was decent at creating pressure. He would be my interior 11 also. So I think he does have some upside. You would like to see a little more of pass production for me to feel good, but he was crazy. 22 run stops, which was the second most for this interior line class, just behind Quinnen Williams. So he's able to get himself into the backfield in the run game. You would hope that translates a little bit into the pass game, and that's where I would feel a little better about him there.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
So let's move on to off-ball linebacker, which interesting.
I think we might get some angry emails over this one.
it's an interesting position where there's a very clear top two, and then after that, who knows? So I'll just run down mine. So I think we will give it away a little. We agree here on the order of the first two, which is not widely held belief, but I have Devin Bush from Michigan as linebacker one, then Devin White from LSU as linebacker two, then Blake Cashman as linebacker three, Jelani Tavai from Hawaii as LB four, and Ben Burkervin from Washington as linebacker five. I have Tavon Coney from Notre Dame as linebacker six, Bobby Okereke from Stanford at seven, Drew Tranquil from Notre Dame at eight, Mac Wilson from Alabama at nine, and Chase Hansen at 10.
Yeah, you know, we are actually the same through the top three. Devin Bush, Devin White, and then Blake Cashman. Though that also happens to be how the off-ball linebacker position sorted out with Spark, with Devin Bush as the Spark monster of the class, Devin White a little bit behind him, and then Blake Cashman surprising pretty much everybody and coming up pretty close to Devin White. Then I have Ben Burkervin at four, Mac Wilson at five, Bobby Okereke at six, Drew Tranquil from Notre Dame at seven, Boshawn Joseph of Florida at eight, Terrell Hanks of New Mexico State at nine, and Dakota Allen of Texas Tech at 10. You know, I'm higher on Mac Wilson than you are, but I also am not terribly high on him. I think this will be another case of just pedigree and athleticism getting him drafted highly. He has some Alec Ogletree in him where he is defending his spot and he will not move from his spot. And as we've seen, that's not a great trait, but he is athletic. And I think coaches might decide to take a flyer on him, hoping they can coach him out of that. I personally have Blake Cashman and Ben Burkervin pretty well, not too far behind Devin Bush and Devin White. They're both first round picks on my board. And then Cashman and Burkervin are solid second round picks. I don't have an off-ball linebacker in the 1-2 fringe area. And then with the rest of the guys, I just kind of went for athleticism and coverage ability.
Yeah, which is what you should be looking at for off-ball linebackers. I mean, that's basically what the game is right now. If you do not have an athletic linebacker who can cover, you might as well just not have a linebacker on the field at all. And to get to your Mac Wilson point, one of the reasons I'm pretty low on him is the talk about him during the season was that he was athletic, but he tested as not a great athlete, only in the 30th percentile from Spark. He ran a 4.71, which is not fast. So when you combine that with some of the instincts he lacks a little bit, at least the quick twitch instincts that he has to quickly identify something, that's what really pushes him down my board to linebacker 9. But I think it shows the state of this linebacker class that I don't really like Mac Wilson at all, and he's still my linebacker 9. But I agree with you with, you know, the athleticism and the coverage. Jelani Tavai did not test because of a shoulder injury he had, but has been very good in coverage at Hawaii. The same thing for Tavon Coney, who did not test at the combine. But two things Coney has done very well in his career at Notre Dame have been coverage. He was one of the better coverage linebackers last year. He's been pretty good throughout his career. I think only career like 4.4 yards per target allowed over about 33 targets, I believe, per Sports Info Solutions. So that's very good to me. And Coney does not miss tackles. He has one of the lowest broken tackle rates of this class. So even if there's no testable athleticism, I think the fact that he has proven to cover well and does not have broken tackles when he is trying to make them in this class, that is more than enough for me.
Yeah, that is a whole lot of good traits to have. And with Tavai, I hate that he was injured. I wish he could have worked out because a lot more people would be talking about him.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's possibly why he might be a good value pick for a team that can take him, especially in this linebacker class where, you know, after the top two, maybe the top three, if you do like Cashman a little bit, but he's not on the, you know, the same tier of the two Devins. So it's going to be trying to figure out, you know, what interests you in a linebacker. Once you get past that mark, and for a lot of people, it should be coverage. That is what rules in the NFL right now. These big, hulking, run-stopping linebackers, they don't play often enough to make an impact, and teams aren't running often enough for them to make an impact. So let's move on to a position that I believe does make quite a bit of an impact, and that is cornerback. I'll run through my top 10. Greedy Williams from LSU is my corner 1. Byron Murphy from Washington is number 2. Rocky Sin from Temple, number 3. DeAndre Baker from Georgia, number 4. Jamel Dean from Auburn, number 5. Justin Lane from Michigan State is number 6. Amani Oruwariye from Penn State is number 7. Trayvon Mullen from Clemson is number 8. Julian Love from Notre Dame is number 9. And Mike Jackson from Miami is number 10.
All right. And I think fairly consistently, we have the same two top corners, but they're swapped. I have Byron Murphy from Washington as CB1. Greedy Williams at 2, then DeAndre Baker at 3, Amani Oruwariye at 4, Justin Lane at 5, I have David Long from Michigan at 6, Rocky Sin at 7, Julian Love at 8, Isaiah Johnson from Houston at 9, and Jawan Williams from Vanderbilt at 10. So our top two, I just happen to believe that Byron Murphy, even though speed is a problem for him, I think he will get his speed. I don't think he's a slow corner. I think he's faster than he tested at the combine because he added weight. So I think that will kind of normalize as he gets used to just being a 190-pound corner instead of a 175-pound corner or whatever he played at Washington. He did, his frame didn't look overly bulky, so I don't. The weight actually looked fairly natural on him, so I think the speed will come back.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think why I have Greedy over Byron, who I think both of them are very good. I just think Greedy spent a lot more time at LSU in man coverage, and Byron Murphy was a lot more in zone at Washington, and that's fine. I just think Greedy is going to be able to catch up in man coverage at the NFL level a little quicker than Byron Murphy is, although I do think it's not that Byron Murphy is not going to be able to catch up to that. I just think I like Greedy's projection a little bit with his size and his length on the outside in man coverage than I do Byron Murphy, who a little shorter, played a lot in zone. I still think he's going to be a very good cornerback, still my number two. I just think that puts Greedy at the top for me.
Yeah, and that's fair. DeAndre Baker, he didn't take the step forward that I think a lot of people were expecting from him coming into the 2018 season, but I still like him. Yeah, he's just a very sticky corner. Once he gets in tight coverage on somebody, he just stays there. And I also do like his ball skills. Oworiye, I think we've been over him enough that, he didn't test out as fast as I think people thought, but if you want just a big press man coverage corner, he's going to be a good one. And that's something that crops up kind of again and again and again, just in my bottom five or six. Justin Lane, David Long, Isaiah Johnson, and Joan Williams, just all long, either look like wide receivers or actually are converted wide receivers. They can all of them play just press man coverage. Yeah, Isaiah Johnson is a guy, he intrigues the hell out of me. I'm not sure if he's going to last long enough to be a value pick, but I think he could almost be like a Darius Slay type player once he really gets it, because he's still transitioning from wide receiver. And then Rocky Sin, I'm high on him too. Keep going back to the battles he had with Debo at the Senior Bowl. I would take him basically anywhere, starting maybe even the late first round.
I would be totally okay with that. I mean, I'm pretty high on Rocky Sin. Obviously, I'd spent quite a bit of time watching him during the regular season for the college football. I did watch during the regular season. I watched Temple quite a bit because that is where I went to school. So he was very good. It did not allow long receptions at all. Was basically a completely shut down. So he is who I like. That's why he is my corner three, right behind Greedy and Byron Murphy. And then, yeah, I do have DeAndre Baker. Jamel Dean is someone I like a lot, who is not on your list. He is super athletic. He has two knee injuries, which I believe is probably going to hold up some teams. It's probably why his draft stock is not going to be as high as it should be. He was healthy enough to test at the combine, and boy, did he test at the combine. Pretty much jumped through the roof. A 4.3 40, 41-inch vertical, 130-inch broad jump. These are all great explosive metrics. And then when you look at his coverage metrics, only allowed 31.9% of 47 targets to be completed last year for Sports Info Solutions, just under 5 yards per target allowed. So I think Dean has a lot of upside. And you look at him, he's 6'2", so he also has the length you would like. So that's why I am higher on him than most. And then the other guys, I think we just differ a little bit. I think from athleticism, David Long's probably my corner 11. He is super athletic and good. He's just a little small for me. I think he's was listed at 5'11", or 5'10 and 5'8", so just under 5'11". So for me, I was just thinking I'd rather focus on some outside guys who can be a little bigger and win more on the outside. Long might be able to do that because he has the athleticism and the college production to have that. And then I think I like some other guys, like Mike Jackson was also fairly athletic, the 91st percentile in Spark, and allowed just 37% of his passes to be completed on him last season. So this is a good corner class. I like the corners here. I think some people say this isn't a great corner class, which maybe once you get past, you know, Greedy and Byron Murphy, there's maybe not the top tier. But I think there's some pretty useful contributors all over this place. And I think this is a fairly deep cornerback class.
Yeah, kind of like the off-ball linebackers, there's a little bit of a gulf between the top two guys and then everybody else. But there's a lot of players who could fit in a lot of different coverage schemes. You know, there are, like I said, guys who can play press man. There's guys who could play quarters or cover two. There's cover three corners. You should be able to find a cornerback that fits your defense in this class, even if they're not going to be, you know, a blue chip star. One guy, he fell just outside of my top 10, you know, that I like for a lot of the same reasons you like Dean, is Sean Bunting out of Central Michigan. You know, again, he's got the size. He didn't exactly jump out of the gym, although 41 and a half inches ain't bad. But just an all-around good athlete that I think a team could take a chance on and maybe come up with a good contributing player, maybe even as late as the third day.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. I think it might go before that. I think there's been some pickup on the Sean Bunting hype. 41% of passes completed against him. That's good. Just 5.79 yards per target last year, which is decent. So, yeah, I think there's... It's like you said, it's kind of like the linebacker position where afterward it's just kind of trying to figure out what you're looking for. But the thing about corners is they matter way more than the off-ball linebackers do. So let's finish this up with a go through the safety rankings. It's our last position, so I will start. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson from Florida is safety 1. Cedar Adderley from Delaware is my safety 2. Taylor Rapp from Washington, my safety 3. Juan Thornhill from Virginia is my safety 4. Deontay Thompson from Alabama is my safety 5. Amani Hooker from Iowa, safety 6. Darnell Savage from Maryland, my safety 7. Jonathan Abram from Mississippi State, my safety 8. Marvell Tell from USC is my safety 9. And Sheldrick Redwine from Miami is my safety 10. Chris, let's run through your top 10.
Okay, top 2, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Nazir Adderley. Same. Then for 3, I have Darnell Savage out of Maryland. Then Deontay Thompson out of Alabama. Taylor Rapp out of Washington. Juan Thornhill out of Virginia. Jonathan Abram out of Mississippi State. Amani Hooker out of Iowa. Then Ugo Amadi out of Oregon. And Jaquan Johnson out of Miami. Really, the only places we have different guys are at 9 and 10. I think I've been fairly consistent about liking Ugo Amadi just because of his coverage ability. Yeah, he didn't test out as a great athlete, but you know, he is just really good at coverage. So for a free safety, I have to like that. I think I'm higher on Darnell Savage than a lot of people are.
Apparently not, because I think Ian Rappaport tweeted that he might be finding his way into the back half of the first round. So
people are finally starting to listen to me, because you know, for me, he just plays up to his name. When he comes downhill from a deep zone, he is just savage. And I think he might be the fastest safety in this group. Yeah, you know, he had a great combine. He does everything. He can cover out of the slot. He can play a deep zone. He is fearless coming downhill. I just really like watching him play.
Yeah, he's someone who can, you know, move around quite a bit. Let's see, for Sports Info Solutions, he played 22.2% of his snaps from the slot last year, a 7.6% in the box. He was a super athletic safety from the combine, 86th percentile, 4.36 40. So he does have that straight line speed, which you like. Yeah, I do like him. I think I like a couple guys, you know, more than him, who potentially a little athletic, can move around, you know, a little more. I still have him as, you know, safety 7. I like Amani Hooker and Deontay Thompson just a little more. I think Juan Thornhill can possibly be that. He was a little more athletic, especially per spark, and can move around a little bit. And I liked a little more what he did at Virginia than what Savage did. But I'm not going to I'm not going to be opposed to you liking Darnell Savage a lot. I think that a little bit of this is because we're grouping all safeties together is a little bit, you know, eye of the beholder here. Again, I think a lot of this is, but because we're more so in this position than the rest is, you know, you're kind of playing two different positions. I think one thing the Giants will like specifically is guys who can play all around. I think you have that with most of the guys we listed. You have Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who basically was a nickel corner last year, but can play free safety, can play strong safety. He can play all over the field. It just makes plays literally everywhere. He is so good and so fun to watch. Probably outside of Kyler Murray, maybe my favorite prospect to watch this year. I mean, Kyler Murray was just insane. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson just made plays all over the place. Not surprising, he is the safety one for both of us. As we get into our differences, Marvell Tell, for me, I like him a lot. He is a guy who can play, I think, all over the place. Had super athletic, good testing at the combine in the 99th percentile of BARC. You know, he only ran a 4.59, but all of his other testing was crazy, a 4.01 short shuttle, which is kind of insane. He was great in the jumps. I think he has the ability to play all three safety positions, so I think that athleticism and that versatility, I think, can make him a mid to late round steal. And the same thing goes for Sheldrick Redwine, who was also fairly athletic and can play all those different positions. So I think that's why I have those two there over the two guys you have at the bottom.
Yeah, and that's fair. Yeah, I would say Marvell Tell among these safeties wins the name game. And you know, if he makes a roster and becomes a player and a major contributor, he's going to get nicknamed Captain Marvel. That's just going to happen.
Yeah, let's do it. Right when Avengers Endgame also comes out.
Yeah. Yeah, and Shazam is still in the theaters, so there you go. The original Captain Marvel.
That is true, and now we are getting nerdy on a whole different area.
I never restrain my nerd. I let him run free.
So that is where we are for the defense. We've now run through our top 10s on offense and defense. This should be a huge preview for all of you guys as we get into the draft, which is happening this week. It is so soon. So we're going to have a lot of fun stuff on Big Review. We've been running community mock drafts that Chris has been in charge of, some interesting results through that. We're going to have a big board out. The two of us will combine for a big board later in the week, and then we're going to have a lot of draft coverage, a whole bunch of stuff, instant reaction online. We are going to be back with instant reaction podcasts, I believe, after each day, at least after round one. We know that. So a lot of exciting stuff. The draft is finally here, and then we can all relax a little bit. So thank you guys all for coming along this path with us. The Giants were not very good this year, so we turned one of our podcasts into a draft podcast like back in October, I think. So we have been on this path for quite a long time. So thank you everyone who have been listening to us talk about draft prospects for all of this time. We really appreciate it. So find all our work on bigreview.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Pizzuta. You can follow Chris on Twitter at RaptorMKII. We're still doing stuff for the draft for these next couple of days, and we'll have the fallout quite after. So thank you guys for listening. We will talk to you again soon.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.